patterns, and one tiny hunched shape slid and slithered along the gutter, squelching its feet in slush and swearing under its breath. It wore a stained black suit, and on its head the type of hat known in various parts of the multiverse as bowler, derby, or the one that makes you look a bit of a tit. The hat had been pressed down very firmly, and since the creature had long pointy ears, these had been forced out sideways and gave it the look of a small, malignant wingnut. The thing was a gnome by shape, but a fairy by profession. Fairies aren't necessarily little twinky creatures. It's purely a job description, and the commonest ones aren't even visible, such as the electric drill chuck key fairy. A fairy is simply any creature currently employed under supernatural laws to take things away, or, as in the case of the small creature presently climbing up the inside of a drainpipe and swearing, to bring things. Oh, yes, he does. Someone has to do it, and he looks like the right gnome for the job. Oh, yes. Sidney was worried. He didn't like violence, and there had been a lot of it in the last few days, if days passed in this place. The men, well, they only seemed to find life interesting when they were doing something sharp to someone else, and while they didn't bother him much in the same way that lions don't trouble themselves with ants, they certainly worried him. But not as much as Tea Time did. Even the brute called Chicken Wire treated Tea Time with caution, if not respect, and the monster called Banjo just followed him around like a puppy. The enormous man was watching him now. He reminded Sidney too much of Ronnie Jenks, the bully who'd made his life miserable at Gamma Wimblestone's dame school. Ronnie hadn't been a pupil. He was the old woman's grandson or nephew or something, which gave him a license to hang around the place and beat up any kid smaller or weaker or brighter than he was, which more or less meant he had the whole world to choose from. In those circumstances, it was particularly unfair that he always chose Sidney. Sidney hadn't hated Ronnie, he'd been too frightened. He'd wanted to be his friend. Oh, so much. Because that way, just possibly, he wouldn't have had his head trodden on such a lot and would actually get to eat his lunch instead of having it thrown in the privy. And it had been a good day when it had been his lunch. And then, despite all Ronnie's best efforts, Sidney had grown up and gone to university. Occasionally his mother told him how Ronnie was getting on. She assumed in the way of mothers that because they had been small boys at school together, they had been friends. Apparently he ran a fruit stall and was married to a girl called Angie, who was, according to Sidney's mother, a bit of a catch, since her father owned a half share in an eel pie shop in Gleam Street. You must know her. Got all her own teeth and a wooden leg you'd hardly notice. Got a sister called Continence. Lovely girl. Why didn't she invite her along for tea next time he was over? Not that she hardly saw her son, the big wizard, at all these days, but you never knew, and if the magic thing didn't work out, then a quarter share in a thriving eel pie business was not to be sneezed at. This was not enough punishment, Sidney considered. Banjo even breathed like Ronnie, who had to concentrate on such an intellectual exercise and always had one blocked nostril, and his mouth open all the time. He looked as though he was living on invisible plankton. He tried to keep his mind on what he was doing and ignore the laboured gurgling behind him. A change in its tone made him look up. Fascinating, said Tea Time. You make it look so easy. Sidney sat back nervously. It should be fine now, sir, he said. It just got a bit scuffed when we were piling up the... He couldn't bring himself to say it. He even had to avert his eyes from the heap. It was the sound they'd made. The, things, he finished. We don't need to repeat the spell, said Tea Time. Oh, it'll keep going forever, said Sidney. The simple ones do. It's just a state change powered by it just keeps going. He swallowed. So, he said, I was, thinking, since you don't actually... need me, sir, and perhaps... Mr. Brown seems to be having some trouble with the locks on the top floor, said Tea Time. That door we couldn't open, remember? I'm sure you'll want to help. Sidney's face fell. I'm not a locksmith. They appear to be magical. Sidney opened his mouth to say, but I'm very bad at magical locks, and then thought much better of it. He had already fathomed that if Tea Time wanted you to do something and you weren't very good at it, then your best plan, in fact, quite possibly your only plan, was to learn to be good at it very quickly. Sidney was not a fool. He'd seen the way the others reacted around Tea Time, and they were men who did things he'd only dreamed of. Not, that is, things he wanted to do, or wanted done to him, just things that he dreamed of, in the armpit of a bad night.